Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, I'm Brock Williamson. Most of you guys know me. I'm the youth director here at the church. Some of you don't know me. I feel bad for you. Just kidding. I'm kidding. If you don't know me, what is there to say? You're in for something this morning. A lot of you guys know my vocabulary is not the best. So, you know, you're going to hear a lot of words that probably don't make sense. But deal with it. I went to Sparta High School. I'm just kidding. That joke never gets old, man. I tell it like every time. You guys laugh the same every time. I don't know if it's new people or the same people just feel bad for me. I don't know. But, or maybe you went to Sparta too, so you understand. I think that might be what it is. Anyway, you know, every time I come up here, I risk there's a risk of embarrassing myself. And I'm not usually one to get too embarrassed. You can ask my dad or anybody in my family. I don't get embarrassed too easily. It's from time to time I get embarrassed. But see, there's a risk coming up here to be embarrassed. But see, the thing is, the secret is to not being embarrassed. I'm going to share with you, for those of you that get embarrassed really easily, is to not care what people think. Because honestly, to an extent, obviously I care somewhat. That's why I shower. That's why I dress the way I do. Because I want to look respectable. I don't want you to make you gag every time I walk next to you. But see, majority of the time, no offense to you out there, I don't care what you think. Because I live for an audience of one. All right? And we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Because see, I see this happening in the church. And it's, for a while I've seen it, but I mean, it's not necessarily just this church, but in my time of North Central, just seen it there and seen it in multiple places and hearing about it, is there's like this stigma about the altar. Now, you saw during worship, people come up to the altar, yeah. But then there's a time where a lot of preachers, pastors, speakers will have an altar call. And they'll say, hey, anybody want to respond, come up to the altar from their sermon or what they preached on. They give you a chance to respond. They give you a chance to respond to what they said, to maybe make something right with the Lord, to maybe just go up for some prayer, just something. And see, I feel like there's this stigma that if I go up there, that's me admitting to the world that I got issues. I need to just stay here real quick. I mean, God sees my heart right where I'm sitting, standing. I don't need to go up to the altar. Nobody needs to know. They don't need to know my issues. There's this stigma that it's just all of a sudden, as soon as you step up here, you got problems. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a good thing I'm up here all the time because I got lots. Amen. My goodness, I got lots. You're going to find out about some this morning, I'm sure. But not only that, we care what people think. That's like the thought in our mind when we come up to the altar is, what are people going to think? What are they going to see? They see me come up to the altar, they're going to be like, oh. They're going to nudge the person next to them. Did you see so-and-so go to the altar today? I wonder what's going on. I wonder if they're having problems at home or something. Or I wonder if that has to do with why they got called into the boss's office at work or something like that. And it's, we wonder what people are going to think, what they're going to say. And at the same token, it's like when we're in the workplace and it's a chance and an opportunity to share with somebody, to witness to somebody, share the gospel with them. And all of a sudden the thought goes through our mind, well, what are they going to think? What are they going to think of me? I mean, we're pretty cool right now. We got this thing going on where we just, you know, the nod and then just keep walking. What if they don't give me the nod anymore? What if they just walk by me? Oh, uh-oh. What if they ask me a question I don't know the, uh-oh. All these things, and we just worry so much about what other people are thinking about us. And I'll tell you what, if you look in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 6, there's a verse. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. You could take that, use that for this service. But also, if you do not own a Bible, take that with you. That is a gift to you, not from us, but from God. He wants you to have it. He wants you to take it. So please, help yourself. Take two if you want. No, I'm just kidding. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Story time. Growing up, first of all, I like movies. I watch lots of movies. Now, this isn't a sermon based on a movie, but there's a movie that makes me think of this topic, kind of. You got to follow me here. There's a movie called, here's where my grammar gets bad. I can't, for the life of me, I cannot say this word correctly. So don't judge me too much. It's called parental guidance. There you go. That's the word. I don't know why I can't say it like that. It doesn't come out. I try. I read the word and it comes out parental. I don't know why. It's just like vegetables. Miniature. I don't know why. These words come out of my mouth and they don't make any sense. But it's just the way it goes. It's why I'm not a vocab teacher. Anyway, this movie. There's a part in the movie where it is the grandpa comes to the baseball game. And they're out there, and the kid's up at the plate, swing and a miss, three strikes. And he's like, oh, you're out of there, and the kid stays at the plate. And he's like, what's going on? And all of a sudden, there's this big uproar. I tell you, this would be me if I was him. I mean, I'd be freaking out, too. This kid's out. Get him out, dude. Get him back to the bench. He can't hit the ball. That's his fault. Get him out. Next kid up. But for some reason, this game, nobody gets out, nobody loses, and nobody wins. This is ridiculous. And I've seen this more and more in these younger generations growing up. I mean, it's not everywhere. Thankfully, in the Midwest, we still hold on to those things, you know, those fundamental things like winning and losing. But there's places that don't believe in that. There's places that don't believe in failing. Drives me nuts. See, when I was growing up, my dad, being the dad that he was, still is, loved me no matter what, unconditionally, and I'm thankful for that. But you know what else I'm thankful for? Is my mom, who would say to me, as I'm out the door heading to a basketball, baseball, whatever sport it was, would say, go have fun. And as soon as we got in the truck, as soon as the car door shut, you better win. Because here's the deal. My dad loved me no matter what. But Williamson's, get this. Williamson's, he taught me this. Because he was taught this. And I'm pretty sure his dad was taught this. Is you do not step on the field, you do not step on the court unless you are going to win. Williamson's don't do things for fun. Winning is fun. You laugh. You think it's funny, but we're serious. You do not do things for fun. You don't go out there to just look good. You go out there to win. And you do whatever you got to do to win. My dad told me, basketball games, we would win and I would play well. And he's like, did you leave any skin on the floor? And if I didn't, then it was like, that was an okay game. If you don't get at least one foul per quarter, according to my grandpa, that means you're not trying hard enough. It doesn't matter. Whatever you have to do to win, you do it. If it means sacrificing your body, if it means diving into a wall, running through a brick wall, you do it. You win the game. Because Williamson's don't mess around. And if some of you who've seen me in a competitive environment, some of you here have seen me in a competitive environment. And when it's something that means something to me, and we're not playing for fun, I'm a very mean person. It's something that I've worked on. You know, light a candle, get some lotion out, I don't know, something to calm me down. Because when it comes to competitiveness, I'm right up there with the crazies. I'll do whatever it takes to win. It doesn't matter if it's my first time playing, whatever it may be. I went bowling the other night with some guys. My dad took first. I took second. But see, this time, that's true. Then he forfeits. And that's another thing, Williamson's never give up. But see, this thing, we went bowling the other night. Whenever we're out with the guys, you know, it's fun. But there's just like this little, I don't know if it's like an elephant in the room type of a thing. I don't know if it's between the other guys that came with us, but definitely for me on my end, between me and my dad. I got to beat him. We go golfing, got to beat him. Basketball, that's just not fair anymore. And you think it's because I beat him, it's not. It's because, see that whole toughness thing? I'm faster than him, but as soon as I get around him, he shoves me. And see, I will not call a foul. I will not call a foul because the first person to call a foul is a wimp. I don't care. He'll shove me into the pole under the hoop. I'm not calling nothing. You better not call nothing. Otherwise, oh boy. From then on, I'm staying away from him though. I go the long way around. And then, you know, by the time we score 2 buckets, he's out of breath and oh, just giving a hard time. But see, there's this competition. There's this gotta win. It's a Williamson kind of a thing. I'm sure other families have it, but I don't know if you got it like we've had it. Because we've had golf tournaments that in 48 hours, we played like 90 holes of golf. Just nonstop. You get food to go and you eat in between shots. It's you don't stop. But you keep going. Your hands hurt. You're limping. Uh-oh. Suck it up. Rub some dirt on it. Bowling. I have a broken pinky. I'll tell you, it hurt by the end of the night. But no way was I just about to just let him get away. Had to go after it. Had to try with all I got. And see, he was trying. Because I was starting to feel it. And he knew it. And so what does he do? He starts fighting unfair. He starts getting inside my head. Well, don't put too much spin on this one. Don't put it in here. And just starts saying all this stuff. And he's like, you better put your hat on tighter so I don't jump in there. And I'll tell you what, don't tell him, but he got in there. It was rough. That last game was probably my worst game. And I totally lost. But see, we do whatever it is to win. You know, the version I'm reading from says the struggle. In other versions, the battle is not against flesh and blood. And so many times we start thinking about the people around us and we start thinking about what we're going to look like, you know, in worship. Do I smell okay today? Do I go half mass or do I go full extension? You know, are they going to get my best angle if I stand on this side or should I stand on this side of the altar today? We just think about all these different things. Don't lie. I know you've thought it. I've thought it too. What do I look like from behind when I'm lifting my hands like this? You don't even lie. I know somebody in here is in that boat with me. But the battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against the evil presence, the darkness. Because guess what? Each and every one of us in here, it's a battle every day. It's a battle, and guess what? There's such a thing as losing. There's such a thing as winning. And you better do whatever you can to win. Because this battle is for your soul. This battle is for your soul. And guess what? There's people in the workplace, they don't even know. They don't even know about the battle. And if you're losing your own battle, there's no way you're going to help them with theirs. If they're in a ditch and you're in a ditch, who's pulling who out of what? It's not happening. It's a battle. It is a fight for your life. And this ain't no fighting clean, you know, keep it above the belt, none of this spitting, pulling. No, you do whatever you got to do. I don't care if it's sprinting to the altar with snot flying out of every hole in your face because you're so overwhelmed. It don't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what your butt looks like from behind. It doesn't matter if you smell bad. Just stand over there. It does not matter. The battle is not this. It's here. You need to remember that. And you gotta win. Because it's been given to you. All the tools to win the fight, to protect yourself, the armor of God. That's in Ephesians 6, a little further on. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's there. There's the armor. There's the sword. The word. It's the only weapon that is given to us. That's what it's a sword. It's the only one that's mentioned. The only weapon that's mentioned. There's prayer. There's all these different things to fight this battle. And see, the altar, this stigma of when you come to the altar and you got issues. Well, guess what? I got news for you. You have issues. So do I. We're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. Nobody in here is Jesus. We're all sinners. And the altar in the Old Testament, they would make, build, go to an altar, and they would offer up a sacrifice. And see, with the New Covenant, there was a sacrifice for all, but see, there's something else we need to sacrifice. Ourselves. And not just like your physical body. I don't want anybody running up here like doing something weird. It's the spiritual things. Your pride. That's a big one. Your pride. Because I'll tell you what, it's not in my best interest to look normal dancing on a stage. It's not my best interest, my personal best interest. But see, every time I dance, man, I feel a little bit closer to God. When I dance up to this altar, I don't know what it is. All of a sudden, I just lose it. Maybe it's the Red Bull. I don't know. But every time I dance, every time I sing a little bit louder, every time I lift my hands, every time I pray, I just feel it. Amen. I feel it. Amen. And that's part of winning the battle. It doesn't matter what I look like. It doesn't matter if what I'm praying is really making sense to the people around me because it's for me. It's that battle. Sacrificing oneself. The Bible tells us that you must die to yourself. I heard a quote once, and it's going to sound really funny, but it's in this context, so it's not as funny sounding. It's not how you live that matters, it's how you die. See, when I was a little kid, like 6 years old maybe, I don't know. I had this plan for life. Now, I was a weird kid. I'm still a little weird. But I was a really weird kid. People would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? All right, three options. Monster truck driver, CIA agent, or a pastor. Now, see, a lot of you think I'm a pastor, but you wouldn't know if I was CIA, just saying. I can't really tell you that at this moment in time. You laugh. You just wait. Country saved by undercover pastor. No, I'm just kidding. No, those were the three options. But here's the deal. This is the kicker. At 50 years old, I was going to smuggle Bibles into China because I wanted to get killed. Okay. Yep. Now, here's the best part. The reason why is because I didn't want to have to look at myself in the shower. That's the part where you're supposed to laugh. Because for some reason, in my mind, when I turned 50, all of a sudden I'd have the body of like a 200-year-old man. And I thought I was going to be like a raisin or something. And I didn't want to have to look at myself like that. Without clothes on? Ugh. Nobody wants to think about that. So that was my goal. See, now it's changed since then. You know, CIA and pastor. Still up there, you know. We'll see. Can't really tell you yet. But I haven't really planned out my death. I hope nobody really does. But see, there's one thing that I want, is to die with my boots on. I'm going to die doing something. I am not going to sit there and just wait for my time. I'm not just going to, I'm not just going to sit there and wait for my time. I'm going to die with my boots on. I'm going to die doing something, going at it, doing something crazy. I'm going to be that knobby old man that's walking with a walker, then all of a sudden throws it and starts doing backflips. I don't know. I'm going to go out with my boots on. See, that's how I want to go out. See, it's how you die that matters. Because in the end, I mean, that's what matters. But see, we have a choice each and every day. Not literal death, but the dying to ourself. Are you going to live for yourself or are you going to die for yourself? Every morning we wake up, we have this decision to make. And it's part of the battle. It's part of the fight for our life. Are we going to die to ourselves, die to our pride, and not care what people are thinking? Or are we going to live for ourselves and just kind of carry on but start losing the battle? Because I'll be honest with you. What you might think is embarrassing to win the battle, you know, the snot flying everywhere, and maybe some of your coworkers thinking you're kind of weird, that you think that's embarrassing? Wait till you show up to heaven in buckle jeans with the nice shoes on, beautiful cut, fresh cut, and all of a sudden, all the money in the world, and all of a sudden it's like, you don't belong here. Now, that'd be a little embarrassing. It's something to think about, because that's what that battle is. It's for your soul. You're going to win and lose it with the decisions you make. And the biggest decision of all is, are you going to die to yourself or are you going to live for yourself? Are you going to live for Christ? Dying to your carnal desires. Dying to that pride. Because see, in so many other aspects of life, we don't care what people think. I mean, I think about Denver Bronco fans. The Super Bowl's coming up, right? I think about last Super Bowl. How in the world do you still wear a jersey around after last Super Bowl? They got demolished in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry for any Bronco fans in here. I like Peyton Manning, don't get me wrong. But what in the world? Show up or get out, man. They should have called it at halftime. Man, that was rough. Yet they'll still wear their jerseys proudly because they don't care what people think. Well, what about our faith? Are we going to wear that proudly? Not care what people think? Die to ourselves? Die to those thoughts in our head? Because see, when we die to ourselves, we become numb to those thoughts. A dead body, you could poke it. It's not going to all of a sudden like wake up and zombie action or something. It's not going to respond. And see, when you die to yourself, those thoughts, you're not going to respond to them. And when you live for Christ, you're going to be alive to His nudging, His poking, His prodding, His conviction, pushing you to go further, go farther, do these things, do this, go a little bit harder. Winning the battle that is every day, every morning when you wake up making that decision. But see, there's other decisions throughout the day where you have to decide once again to die to yourself. It's an ongoing battle. You need strength. Good thing we got the big guy. Can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can keep the fight going. You can keep the fight going. And when you get tired, He brings rest to the weary. It's not like you're all of a sudden, oh, I'm just going to keep on fighting and all this stuff. And it's just going to... He'll be there for you. And it doesn't matter if you're old or young. It doesn't matter. Because see, young, David... When he faced Goliath, he's a little youngin'. And see, nobody thought he could do it. Because see, he'd never fought in past battles. The thing was, is he defended his flock, though. God brought him through that. And got him ready for that when he faced the giant and he struck down the giant. And he was real young. And see, Moses, you know, I always, like, we watch Prince of Egypt or something. Disney version and stuff like that, or even the Ten Commandments. And yeah, we watch all that. And Moses is pretty young looking, usually pretty studly looking, you know, got that tan going, facial hair, looking good, looking fresh. But see, if you think about it, that dude in the Bible, he was old. He was old. He was probably, to be honest with you, I think he was older than almost everybody in here. Majority of you. I'm pretty sure he was. I don't know all your ages, but I'm pretty sure he was older than the majority of us in here. And yet God still used him. Yet Moses still decided to die to himself and go back for the slaves. Go back, follow Jesus, follow the call, fight the battle, not only in his life, but on their behalf. That's what we're called to do, to fight this battle, die to ourselves, this sacrifice, to win the battle. You win at any cost, because it's not about just having fun, living life. Reminds me of the scripture verse that says, do not all the runners run in a race, but only one receives the prize. So run in such a way to receive the prize. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. Living your life with a purpose. Fighting the battle with a purpose. See, I think this story, like the verse says, I don't swing like a man just beating the air. When I was in eighth grade, maybe it was 7th grade. No, I think it was 8th grade. I don't condone fighting, but this is a story that kind of fits. Is this kid, we were playing basketball, and there was a girl playing with us. And one of my friends got blocked by this girl. And so I laughed quite hysterically. And so he runs over to me out of nowhere. I turn around, and he just popped me in the head. And I was like, what in the world? And he's a big dude, okay? I was a little kid. I was like 5'2", 110 pounds. I was small. And it kind of knocked me off balance. And without really thinking or looking, I just turn and I swing. And of course, by this time, he's turned around. And I smoke him in the back of the head. And I bust up my knuckles. Broke two knuckles and messed up a couple other ones. See, that's not how you fight. I mean, I'm not an expert on fighting, but I'm pretty sure you want to see your target before you throw the punch. I think that's how it's done. Because you want to make sure you make it count. I learned my lesson the next time I had to hit a kid, and I caught him in the nose and broke it. Not that I condone fighting by any means. But when you're fighting, you need to hit with a purpose. You need to hit. In football, you need to hit with a purpose. You need to be able to take them out. Tackle them. You don't just hit them because it's like, oh, this is fun. No. I'm going to kill you, son. Come here. You got the ball. You're going down. Russell, come here. Boom. There you go. That was for the Packer fans in here. Ugh. They're not my team. I don't like the Seahawks that much. Anyway, let's keep it holy. You hit with a purpose. You fight with a purpose. You don't just go through life, oh, la-di-da, chasing the rainbows and the butterflies. It's not what it's about, no matter what this world preaches at you. This world's just like, YOLO, you only live once, do what you want. Have some fun. See all the sights you can see. Oh, you saw the seven wonders. Good for you. I'm sorry, but that has no eternal value. That's not going to win the fight. That's not going to win the battle. That's not throwing a punch that means something. That's throwing your punch and breaking your fist. And I'll tell you what, it hurts. It swells up. Ugh. You got to fight with a purpose. I'm challenging you in here today. Worship team, if you could come up, we're going to do something. That last song that we played, I See Heaven, if we could do that. Not caring what other people think. Not caring what other people think. But instead realizing you have a struggle. Instead realizing that there is a battle. That you need to be fighting. That God can help you with. That you need to just go to God with. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you just got a whole bunch of like issues that are really digging into you, like an addiction or you're an alcoholic or anything like that. Maybe you are, or maybe you're not. But it's just a battle for your soul, because we're all sinners. You need to quit caring what other people think. You need to get your eyes off the flesh and realize that there are things going on that we can't see. And every time you pray, every time you worship, every time you read the word, every time you dive into his presence, every time you come up to the altar and you put that outward sign of sacrificing your pride in front of everybody else, risking the fact that they might think you have issues. Every time you do that, drawing a little bit closer to God, winning the battle just a little bit more. Now, it's not like the altar has some like magic error. It's that sign. It's that act of sacrifice. It's acting on that. Responding to God and his nudge to you in obedience to him. Because the Bible, it's chock full of things, promises, blessings that come with obedience to God. We got to fight this battle. You got to fight this battle. As a church body, we got to fight this battle. We can't lose this, because there is such a thing as losing. Each and every day, throughout the day, we have to make the decision.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.